Our scripture reading this morning can be found in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, and that can be found in page 742 in your pew Bibles. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity, and we do ask that we are able to limit our distractions and get focused on you and your word. And for what this small parable has to teach us, Lord, is indeed a powerful truth, and no doubt your spirit will move in our lives and convict us. So we pray expecting that. We pray that as uncomfortable as we may feel or what we learn, that the ultimate aim would for us to be more like Jesus. And so it's part of the deal that the Spirit will make us look more like Jesus, but sometimes that's through the prodding of the Word. And so we're grateful for this opportunity. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. If you've ever joined a church or this church, you no doubt would have went to the front, walked the stairs, and would have been asked either these questions or something like these questions. Question number one, who is your Lord and Savior? Answer, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Do you trust Him? Answer, I do. Do you intend to be His disciple, to obey His word, and to show His love? Answer, I do. Will you be a faithful member of this congregation, giving of yourself in every way, and will you ask or will you seek the fellowship of the church wherever you may be? Answer, I will. No doubt you've answered some of those questions yourself, and then you became a member of this church or maybe another church, but point is, there's a series of questions that you had to answer, and if they're acceptable, at least verbally, then you're in. Well, Jesus tells a very powerful parable, one that we will just call unacceptable, because the lessons in here are sometimes hard for us as Christians to wrap our minds around or even to swallow. So let's look back at the scripture and see what we can learn. These characters keep coming up, if you've been noticing over the weeks, in the Gospel of Luke. And so I'm not going to go ahead and go as in-depth with them as I have the previous weeks, but I am going to touch upon them just as a refresher. So if you look back at your Bible, you will see that there are two essential characters in this parable. There's a Pharisee and there's a tax collector. Again, the same sort of group that we've been noticing Luke keeps emphasizing over the past month or two. The actual name for Pharisee means separate or separated one. So that should give you an insight into the Pharisee. They were separated from the community. See, Pharisees were members of the Jewish society, and they had very, very strong beliefs about obeying the laws of Moses and the traditions handed down from the fathers. And these traditions that we have to understand were not necessarily in the Bible, but they obeyed them as they were if in the Bible. Some theologians call them fence laws. So an example would be if we read in the Old Testament, you are to touch nothing unclean, and then the Bible is specific in what is unclean. So don't touch that. And so we would read that and go, okay, I'm not supposed to touch that. And what the Pharisee would do, and why we call them fence laws, is they would put another rule around that. So they would say, okay, the Bible says don't touch that, but to ensure we never touch that, we're going to add, you can't get within 150 yards of that. Okay? So if I can't get 150 yards in front of this, there's no way I could ever break that law because I'm never going to be near it. And so it seemed like a good plan, but as we see here in the parable, it might not be the best of plans. So one of the things we have to understand about the Pharisees is that they were very prideful in these things. They were separated from others, while all the other Jews perhaps were not as strict on following all the laws, they did. This is why when you read through the Gospels, you will see them arguing with Jesus so much, because Jesus didn't really care for those laws. You see Jesus eating with, quote, sinners, or maybe not washing their hands before they did certain things. What the Pharisees were upset about was Jesus breaking the man-made laws. And so you see this point of contention all throughout the Gospels, and that's what really is going on with the Pharisees and Jesus. And again, if you open your Bible in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, you're going to see this happening all through the Gospels. The other group was the tax collectors. And everybody knows about them by now. They were unjust. They were swindlers. They were thieves. They were considered unclean. They were put in the same categories as sinners and prostitutes. And they were just all around looked down upon in that society. So with that background of the two main characters, and that's very important or else we lose the strength of this parable, Jesus starts teaching. And he told this parable, these are Luke's words, to certain ones who had trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. So we have the nice little introduction. I like when the author of the Bible does that. It takes out all the mystery. We know exactly, perhaps, who Jesus is addressing or why he's addressing it. And here Luke just says, look, he is telling this parable. So imagine Jesus in real time and space standing in front of a crowd. And he knows what's going on in the heart of the crowd, in the mind of the crowd. He's telling this parable to those that, watch, trusted in themselves that they were righteous and also viewed others with contempt. And then he starts. Two men went into the temple to pray, which almost sounds like a modern-day joke. You know, you have the two guys walk into a bar joke. Not that I would know any of those jokes. Two men went into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not like the other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax gatherer. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes of all that I get. So what can we learn from this Pharisee's prayer? We can learn a handful of things. First, he is standing by himself. He's separated from other worshipers. Why is he separated from other worshipers? Well, because just like the Bible says, he trusts in himself and he views others with contempt. So he doesn't want to mix with the other sinful people. He doesn't want to rub shoulders with anyone that could defile him. And the nature of his prayer, notice a few things about it. There's no confession of sin. He's not thanking God for anything. And he isn't asking for anything for others. No, the only thing he's doing is pointing out to others how bad they are and showing contempt for them. And he's also publicizing his own righteousness. The Pharisee stood and was praying to himself out loud, because that was custom, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like that tax gatherer. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. He's just pointing out how bad other people are and how great he is. He even goes on to say that he fasts twice a week. Do you know how many times that is in a year? That's like 104 times in a year. That's amazing. How many of us fast once a year? My arm is going to go down. It's something I should probably do. But 104 times of the year, this man was fasting. And he meant it. These weren't made up things. So we could be thinking to ourselves, what's so wrong with that? Those are all good spiritual disciplines. Well, here's the thing. The original audience listening to this right now, they're swelling up with pride. They're saying to themselves, now that is a good man. I do all those things too. And he's right. Look at that Pharisee over there, or I'm sorry, the tax collector. Look at him over there. He's no good. He's rotten. And he should be doing all of those nice things like the Pharisee is doing. Now, when we think about this, the issue of prayer should come up. When he's praying out loud. And is that really wrong? You know, I've heard people say that when you do things, you should do them only in silence and only in quiet. Because after all, Jesus does say that we should do things in silence or quiet. But at the same time, Jesus also says to let your light be shown among others. So what's the issue here? Well, I believe Matthew 6 helps us. Jesus said, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go to your room and shut the door and pray for your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret, he will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. So the question is there something wrong with praying in public? Is this Pharisee wrong for verbally saying these things out loud? Well, it's not necessarily. You see, Jesus, when he taught in Matthew 6, wasn't talking about praying in public. He was addressing the motives of the person praying in public. And here's the key phrase, that you may be seen by others. So the person praying in public in Matthew chapter 6 is praying with his motives or her motives to be seen in front of others. In other words, they're doing it for a show. And that is exactly what this Pharisee is doing. And we've all seen this before, maybe in a prayer meeting, or you've heard a pastor pray or a friend pray. And instead of really praying, you start to get the feeling that they're really preaching while they're praying. They're praying out loud, they're preaching at other people, and you start to think they're not really praying right now this way. They're sort of attacking people this way. Perhaps you've seen that. I've seen that a lot in my life. But that's what's going on with the Pharisee. There's no repentance. There's no remorse in him. Nothing. It's just simply pointing out how good of a person that he is versus how bad of a person this other person is. But then Jesus goes on in verse 13 and says, but the tax gatherer standing some distance away was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. What a contrast. But the tax collector was standing far off. He would not even lift his eyes up to heaven. And he was beating his chest over and over and over again. And what was he saying? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What can we learn from this man's demeanor and this man's prayer? Well, first of all, remember, this tax collector is standing far from others. But he's not standing far from others for the reason of the Pharisee. You see, the Pharisee wanted to separate himself from others because he thought he was better than others. But notice, not this man. Not this man. He is standing from a distance, not because he's righteous. It's because he is a sinner. And on top of that, the Bible says, notice that he will not even lift his eyes up to heaven. Why is he not lifting his eyes up to heaven? It is because he feels unworthy to do so. He feels unworthy to be standing among God's people and even conversing with God. And here he's beating his breast, which is an outward showing of just how remorseful he is for his lifestyle. In the Bible, beating your breast is used, and this is all I can find, one time in the whole Bible. And do you want to know when that was used? In Luke chapter 23, verse 48. People beat their chests at the cross when the crowds realized what happened to Jesus. So if there's any doubt how distraught this man was, take it from the other instance when people were beating their chests. When they sat there and looked at the Son of God, who was sold out, beaten, thrown on a cross unjustly. And that was their response. It's that same idea that's going on with this man. He's standing apart, beating his own chest, and he's crying out to God. But this cry out to God is so powerful because in most of your translations, this isn't Sunday school, so I can't ask everybody, but if you have your Bible open, some Bibles will change one word. You see, but he was beating his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Some versions say a sinner. A sinner, if you have that in your Bible, scratch that out. It's the sinner. Now, what's the big deal? It's huge. You see, a sinner means I'm with all of us. Hey, sure, I mess up, but so do all of us. But God be merciful to me, the sinner, is taking personal responsibility for my own guilt, for my own actions, and for my own sin. I have grieved the heart of God. And that's the difference between the two men. This isn't a cry for general mercy. He is asking for forgiveness. He is asking for forgiveness from God. And that's why Jesus moves on to the conclusion. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, but the one who humbles himself shall be exalted. This ending was a complete shock to the audience. Again, there is a reason it was the righteous people that turned in Jesus to be crucified. Did you notice that when you read your Bible? It's not the sinners. It's not the tax gatherers. It's the religious leaders. And it's the very reasons for things like this. Because what they thought after hearing the two, the Pharisee and the tax gatherer, they thought Jesus was going to end totally different. It's the tax gatherer that should be thrown out of the synagogue. He shouldn't even be allowed in there. And it's the Pharisee that should be exalted. But Jesus switches it all around. And he says, look, he who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. When it comes to God's grace, it's the person that humbly acknowledges their sin that's saved. And that's the way it works with God. The man is broken. He realizes he is a sinner and he needs a Savior. And it's when you're at your worst or when you're driven to your knees, oftentimes do you realize your own sinfulness. And you also realize that there's nothing you can do to save yourself. You have to be driven to your knees to look up. And so what can we learn from all of this? First, don't compare yourself with other people. This is something this man did, the Pharisee. Notice, when he prayed, he was busy doing this, looking this way and looking this way. Don't compare yourself with others, because the Bible says that we are justified in our own eyes. We are always better than our said neighbor. It's all relative. When we introduce our friends, we always say, this is a really good person. And we understand what that means. But the Bible says there's none good, not one. See, his problem was he was busy looking this way instead of this way. Because if he looked this way, then he would have realized that he is a sinner in need of a Savior. He would have been praying this: God, be merciful to me, the sinner. But secondly, the issue of sin. When we're in Sunday school, little, we learn about sin. And the textbook definition of sin is missing the mark. So a lot of us think of someone shooting an arrow into a bullseye, and the red represents where you're supposed to hit, and the rest is you're missing the mark. Well, we can think of sin that way, and it's okay. But I think there's another way to think of sin, which is more accurate to what this parable is. And it's not about missing the mark. It's not even about rules. It's about breaking someone's heart. And this is really important for us to understand. And you can see it so clearly in these two men. You see, one thought that if he can keep all the rules and do everything right, that he's going to be justified in the eyes of God. But the other man knew this: I could check off all the rules. I can do everything right. But sin is deeper than that. Sin isn't breaking a rule. Sin is breaking a heart. And it comes so clear with these two men. Now, you may be thinking, I've never heard anything like this. But in fact, if you open up your Old Testament and read through the prophets and read through the Psalms, this kind of teaching is all throughout the Bible. Listen to Isaiah 66, verse 2. But this is the one to whom I look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. That's the tax gatherer, not the Pharisee. And I will conclude with this. One of the most beloved and well-known psalms, Psalm 51. This is the psalm after David, the man who was after God's own heart, not only committed murder, but committed adultery. Two really, really bad things. And then we get Psalm 51, which is after he's caught, and he writes these words. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from thy presence, and do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. And then he says these words, restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit, because you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. Hold on a second. Right smack dab in the middle of the Old Testament, where God literally commands people to sacrifice, David says, am I reading this right? You do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. And you were not pleased with burnt offerings, because the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. What is this about? David knew this. He could bring his sacrifices all day and all night to the altar, and he can go through all of the motions, and he can look real good doing it because he's king. He has access to all the best. But he said, I can leave those things at home. Why? Because what really matters to God is right here, a broken and contrite heart. And that is exactly what Jesus is teaching in this parable. The Pharisee could have done everything right, and he did. In fact, he would have been the perfect church member. He would have answered all of those questions beautifully. But it's not how we answer the questions out here. It's what goes on in here. Let's pray. Father God, as we let the words of Jesus that at first seem beautiful, and they are, easy to read, when they really hit us, it's a challenge. We are called to look at our own lives. Help us to be like the man that has a broken and contrite spirit, the person that truly knows and loves you. Help us to be the people that when we fail and when we sin, are less worried about a rule and more worried about breaking God's own heart. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.